Good morning, Ewan. How are you today?
Good afternoon to you. Doing very well indeed in a freezing cold Edinburgh.
Okay. You're a teacher and speaker, and you're regarded as one of Europe's foremost experts in digital media for public services in public education, right?
Someone said that, yep.
And you're also a national advisor for learning and teaching Scotland, right?
I used to be, yeah, until about 2008. And in 2008, I went off and tried something totally different and was working for one of the biggest media corporations in the UK, Channel 4 Television. And then in 2010, came back to the world of education to try and bring some of those lessons from the world of digital media and creativity back into education.
Uh-huh. Many teachers, Ewan, ask me about social networking and social media. What does emerging social media really mean? What does it mean for education? How can it help present public education?
I think it can help in three ways. The first way, the easiest way, is by helping teachers share what they do in the classroom or in their own learning with their peers. And the number one means of improving education systems repeatedly comes back that we need better teachers who understand what works by looking at how other people have done things. And we can't expect each individual teacher to try out every idea and to constantly be doing action research in every new technology that comes along. So social networking and in a looser sense, the learning network of an educator is therefore hugely powerful to allow teachers to pick up on all the experimentations going on elsewhere. So that's the first, probably easiest way that we can start to see some improvements in learning, thanks to teachers sharing their examples. I think the second relatively easy audience to tap into at that point are parents. And often parents don't have a clue what's going on inside the classroom. When the child gets home in an evening, the first question is, oh, you know, what did you do today? And the reply is always, nothing. And of course, where we have some form of networked communication, some kind of where the teacher is sharing what went on in a classroom that parents can view, we see huge improvements in the relationship between the school, the classroom, and those parents. And in Scotland, with a platform called edubuzz.org, that's exactly what we found, that a blogging platform, a social network of sorts, if you like, that we had created for teachers to share with each other, actually very quickly became a place where teachers were sharing instead with parents. They were the number one audience. And then the third group is when we get students involved in writing those summaries of what's going on in the classroom, reaching out to other students elsewhere in the world, sharing their work that way, learning from each other. And, you know, with those three groups together, you end up with much more powerful learning communities than you have if you choose to stick your head in the sand and ignore the existence of social networks altogether, which unfortunately is what far too many school districts do.
So to summarize what you were saying in the beginning is that you're saying that social networking will encourage teachers and students to build communities of practice, right? And
yep.
To share information and knowledge. Now, concerning the students now, do you think that the synergies created by online social interaction can contribute to student engagement and success?
Yes, and not just in school, in life in general. There's some very compelling research coming out from many universities. The Pew organization in the United States has been notable in the research that shows how youngsters who have healthy online social lives also tend to have much healthier offline social lives than those children who choose not to engage in social networking. But also the thing about social networking is it can, given the right media literacy, if you like, of the individual concerned, it can provide a really interesting space to share writing, to share thoughts, to reflect on quite serious issues, to reflect on aspects of life. When we see examples of youngsters having been taught the basic information literacy skills of you know, the fact that their Facebook profile is probably going to be the number one result for their name on Google, and therefore might be just as good a place to have some degree of portfolio type work, or that it's certainly a place to be careful and be mindful of what we say and what we publish to the web, because in the future employers may be looking at it, or university admissions officers may look at our Facebook profiles, where these kind of lessons have been embedded, and where Facebook is even part of the school communication system, and we see that emerging in some schools, then we see that youngsters do actually treat their social network with a different attitude, much more of an attitude that would be that of a responsible citizen rather than a teenager simply going on about their weekend or their nights out.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us some practical ideas for using social media effectively in a teaching setting?
I think the easiest thing to do is start off by every day or once a week having a couple of students on a rotational basis, perhaps, contributing to a class weblog, and use something easy like posterous.com or a WordPress blog to share what goes on. There is the option to add a connect with Facebook button. Do it, because that's how a lot of parents communicate with each other. And so by having them connect with your class blog through Facebook means that they will see what goes on in the classroom in their daily routine of checking to see what their friends have been doing online. Mm-hmm. And do the same with the youngsters. Find out what they get out of having to summarize a day's worth of learning or a period of learning, and treat it almost as an action research project. What does this add to our day-to-day teaching? And then use that with your senior managers, your administrators, to try and spread that practice further.
And what about Twitter, the new tool there? How can teachers, you know, do you think there's any pedagogical potential to that new micro-blogging tool?
Well, the pedagogical potential will be the same as any potential when teachers start to share ideas back and forth. So whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on the blog, everything I've described so far, all the research that shows teachers sharing ideas become better teachers, that still stands on Twitter. More often than not, the conversations around blog posts I've written are happening on Twitter. They're not happening in the comments of a blog. So Twitter is the ideal place to have short, quite intensive conversations with educators from all over the world. And I would say it's definitely worth dipping into if an educator's not there already. They will have to give it time to mature. It's like a good wine or a fine cheese. Mm-hmm. It takes months. It can take longer than months before you get the big benefit out of it, before the flavor of your learning becomes as rich as it could be. But it's worth sticking there, because at the moment, that's certainly where a lot of these conversations are taking place, and they are absolutely fascinating. You can tap into individual conversations by searching on search.twitter.com for keywords like EdChat, which takes you to teachers talking about education.
Okay.
These tags, as they're called, allow people to hone in on specific conversations that are taking place on this huge platform of Twitter.